I was selling some products. Like at that time I sold crystals and herbs and shit like that. And I'm pretty stressed and I have a little toddler and I'm trying to build my setup and my, like for my presentation, you know, like my booth, if that makes sense. Cause you had to have like a cute little setup to lure the people in. And we were storing it at Derek's shop and he was just giving me attitude. Like he didn't want to help me. He didn't want to do it. And he's like pecking at me, pecking at me, pecking at me. And I'm like, oh God. Like, you know, I'm doing the deep breathing, my kids there running around and I'm just like, and he just gives me attitude at the wrong time. And I'm already stressed. And I don't know why this happens. And I can't like my kids there. I have a 2-year-old there watching me. So that's why I'm really not proud of this. I just picked up some of the equipment in his, like with all his rigs and stuff around, like all his trucks, like his heavy equipment. And I grabbed a ladder and went, and just like whipped this massive ladder across the room. And Derek looked at me, picked up the kid, drove away, left me there.
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
We had some regularly scheduled programming today, and you know, I just wasn't feeling it. And I thought, I'm going to just pull a manifestor moment and take the gals on a little experiment and surprise them with a subject that they're not prepared for. Fun for me. We'll see if it's fun for everybody else. I really want to hear about, through each of us, an example of a decision you've made that was one of the best decisions you've made for yourself. I'd also like to hear, looking back, that was maybe a shitty decision I made. Because so much about the human design experience is our ability to make informed decisions using our authority. And then we kind of look back and it's like, not too proud of that or whatever. Or now with everything I know and I see how I was making my decisions before, I wish I would have known that. So Jasmine Kenna,
yes,
if I could single you out first.
Please do.
What is a decision you made that you feel so good about where you're like, that's one of the best things I ever did with my life that I made that choice. What would that be for you?
Do you want to know a decision before I was informed about human design or does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Maybe I want to hear both.
Doesn't matter. Okay. It's kind of strange because I think it could go in my best decisions and my worst decisions. Like it could be but I think one of my best decisions was getting married to my ex-husband, Mike. It was like one of those moments in my life where I'm like, yes, I'm doing this. I'm moving forward. All systems go. And I never, ever really regretted it at all. Like even, and it's kind of strange. I think sometimes we talk about things being fated and it felt like a very fated decision. But if I think about it from my sacral, it was like just a 100%. Yes, I'm doing this, this relationship, this man, this marriage, all of this.
I'm invested. And yeah.
I'm 100%. My heart is in this. Like everything is.
Yeah.
And then I think that on the flip side of that, even though it goes along with the marriage, with the kids, with everything, I think sometimes like my decision to forego my own career and be a wife was not my best decision.
Really?
It's not my best decision. Yeah. 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 I think that it was not wholehearted. I always had a deep sense of frustration with staying home and taking care and not having a creative outlet and not making money and not, I was doing what I thought was right for my family, but I don't think that that translated into what was right for me.
Totally.
And now I know that.
I got chills as you said that. Ooh, that's like, my body was like, you better listen to that, Nessie. Yeah.
Yeah, you should. Because doing what's right for yourself essentially works out to what's right for your family. You know, like,
yeah,
it boils down to it.
Big wisdom there. I want to admit, I really struggle with this as a Libra. Mm-hmm. I was just like, something happened the other day where like my kid doesn't like like Halloween decorations. He's caves, it spooks him. He's like, but he likes like decorations, but don't put that in his room. Don't put that.
It's scary. Yeah.
It totally spooks him out. So I just adopted, we don't put up decorations. Like my kid doesn't like that. We don't put up decorations. And this is kind of a trivial example, but what if I enjoyed decorating my house in that way? It's like, I totally put my want out of the equation sometimes. Like whoever my tribe is, whoever my people are, you guys want what? Oh, okay. That's what we want. And I just absorb the want. And then I get into this territory where I'm like feeling bitter about things or resentful about things. And I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Like we all want this. And if I really come back to it, I don't know that I want it, but I feel like it's the right thing to do because that's what everybody else might want. And that, yeah, that's really hard to contend with.
Yeah.
So how did you and Mike come to the decision that you were going to not pursue a career and be more present at home with the girls?
There wasn't really a conversation. I mean, he is a worker. I mean, he's an MG. Like, I mean,
you're an MG.
I know, but that man is a workaholic. I mean, he is a worker. That is what he does. I mean, he's a quad, right? Like he has like the most channels of any chart I've ever seen in all the charts that I've read. Like he has so much energy. It's crazy. So he just always worked and he just always was like, this is what I'm doing. And then I had a baby and then I was like, okay. And then I had another baby and I was like, okay, well now it doesn't make sense for me to go back to work because it's going to cost me more money to like have someone else take care of my kids. That felt weird.
Yeah, that's a weird time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had a third baby. And so like from zero, I just stayed home for like 7 or 8 years. And then, you know, in hindsight, like, I mean, I didn't know I was going to get divorced.
Totally.
And so, you know, I just thought this is what I'm doing. And it'll eventually be my turn to like figure out what I can do, you know, and I'll have my time and and then we got divorced and I was like, oh, well, this is awesome because
yeah, Jasmine, what the fuck?
I have no money and I have no career. And I've just really ingratiated myself into this role of like, I am a full-time stay-at-home mother. And luckily I am an MG. So I was able to like think on my feet and like figure it out really quickly, but it really like set me back. And I tell my girls all the time, like, I think it's important to stay home with your kids if you can, but like always have your own thing, like always make your own money, always have, like, I mean, I left my marriage with like $12.
Fuck, Jasmine.
Like I had 12 bucks. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I mean, and it all worked out or whatever, but like the idea that like, I'm like, I don't have any money of my own. Like I'm 100% completely connected to this person who is now no longer my husband.
You know? And I've now maybe gone up to a decade without work experience.
Right.
Right. Like now, if I want to go out and get a job, I'm going to have to really rely on some other things like my connections or whatever, because I don't have the experience on paper. Like that's actually a really hard thing. It's like, why do you have this empty 10 years? It's like, oh, well, I was home with my kids. And there is like a reintegration process.
Yeah.
There is. It's hard going and plugging into that every day. Of the workforce.
Really, you can't really, like, once you've been a stay-at-home mom, like, there's no reintegration. I still have found a job where I worked for myself for forever. And now I work in a way, I mean, I still go pick my kids up from school. I that's like a requirement of my life that I can like be flexible. And, you know, it's not a requirement of his life. You know, he doesn't, he just does what he does and works. And I just figure out the rest of the stuff. So in hindsight, I'm happy for the time that I spent with my kids and that I got to I cherish those memories, but like, I really wish I would have been, I think I did myself a disservice financially doing that.
Yeah, that was deep. That gave me a ton of feelings. Yeah,
sorry.
Out of the gate.
Don't apologize. I love it. It's not a bad decision, but I could have made a better one.
Let's get some perspective then from my little Rachy pie. Rachy. Decisions you've made in your life. You've got the three in the body. What was some of the best decisions you've made and some of the, dare I say, worst or most challenging?
The worst one is hard for me, I think, as a third line, because it's like hard to regret them, but I can see somewhere they were not the best decisions. Like they weren't made from the right place. I just kind of want to start with the worst one. That was the first one that came to mind.
I had a funny little feeling. I was like, you can do whatever you want here.
I would say the worst decision I ever made was when I was like 24. I moved across the country with my then boyfriend, just kind of left everything and moved to a place I'd never been before. And it was a terrible relationship and I knew I shouldn't be in it and I knew I shouldn't be moving. And there was just like, it felt so wrong in my body. Like I was like literally breaking down. And
wait, what was happening to you?
Just severe anxiety.
Yeah.
Like I just became mentally ill essentially. And then over the next 6 months, which was how long this decision lasted until I basically broke and just like undid all of it, was like, I just, yeah, the anxiety got worse. I lost a ton of weight. I was basically like skin and bones. I was just, yeah, everything was just very, very dark. And it was a really terrible place to be. So even in that moment, I kind of knew like I shouldn't be making this decision. But I think my pride got the best of me a little bit. You know, I didn't want everybody in my life to be like, I told you so. I just didn't have a lot of like neutral support at that point in my life. There was a lot of just, I don't know.
Did you have an emotional support system?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I would say like, yes, but it was not like, oh, okay, let's talk this through. It was like, you shouldn't be doing this. Like the other person would get so upset.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I didn't have a lot of like friends in that place at that time. Like, yeah, I didn't really have a great support system, I would say, which is why I think this person was able to weasel their way in so easily.
Well, I'm looking at your chart as you're talking and like, I'm struck by the totally open solar plexus and the totally open heart. Cause I always read those as mirroring the environment. So it's like, you're like, my pride was an issue. So I'm not immediately thinking about the pride of your partner at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked about the social, or excuse me, the emotional support, just because of like AC's teachings and what she shows us about the necessity of that and how much I've realized, you know, there are times where I really didn't have that. And I wasn't aware like AC that I didn't have those types of things. And whenever I see like a totally open solar plexus, and then you're saying to me, like, they're always just getting mad at me, I don't know that I would really call that a support system.
No, I would say at the time I thought I did, but looking back, I didn't. So
yeah,
it wasn't until I got a therapist that I was actually able to like make some progress and get perspective and then leave that situation. So
a kitchens person then fleeing to the shore because the body's in survival mode, not getting something that it needs. I'm now looking at maybe wasn't getting the emotional support. And then it was heavily leaning on this relationship. Sorry, I'm psychoanalyzing. I'm just interested. And the concept of like hardscapes flee to landscapes and landscapes hide in hardscapes.
Yeah.
So for example, Rachel being a kitchens person, when she's not able to get what she needs in, let's say, her community or in her craft, her body, in order to survive, may flee to the shore.
Yeah.
And it's good. I'm going to go just see some other things. And then I can see what I don't have or what I do have or what I need. It could just make me go so that I can kind of call my spirits back and then regulate my body again. That's just a really neat example of that, Rachel, you know?
Yeah. Because I was already living in a kitchen where I had just moved anyway. Like I was completely ungrounded. I actually had people there. But then around the time that they kind of dropped off or things happened or they moved, that's when like this happened. So I really should have just
stayed. The community, the community was being plucked off. Interesting.
I should have just stayed in that kitchen because like that going there was actually a good decision. But yeah, leaving it was not a good decision. So
did you return back to that place or go somewhere new?
I ended up coming back all the way back home and I've been here since. So, but this is also a good place for me. This is like really the best place for me, I would say.
A hard lesson, but led you to where you needed to be. What is an example of a decision you're really proud of or you see now that really worked out for me? That was the right choice for me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the end of that bad decision was the good one, which was for some reason I started to see the light in all of that. And part of a lot of the frustration of that time and the reason why I think I fled to that place and then I got there and I was super unsatisfied was I just didn't have a good, like my work life was not correct for me. Like it was just it was a hard time to find jobs. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just ending up in these awful work environments, like really terrible. And so I was working at like a school district as part of the AmeriCorps program where you make $900 a month and you like live like a poor person and what? Work in the community. It's a very cool program, but it's difficult.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And my job was either sitting in this, and it was in, I was in North Carolina, so like Asheville, North Carolina. So a place that's just like very foreign to me. And yeah, my job was to either sit in this like rural school board building that just felt like death with like zero windows or those motivational posters unironically on the walls. Like it was a bit scary. Or we were driving around in this was kind of cool, like this mobile library school bus. I had to drive the school bus, which yeah. So that whole thing was ridiculous. But yeah, I was just sitting on the school bus and I was like, I got to get out of here. I need to find a job. And I was like, well, what am I kind of interested in? Well, I'm kind of interested in translation. And so I just went on Craigslist and I was looking at all this stuff and I was like, this is what I'm doing. And then I like quit and I left and I moved and I drove all the way back across the country. I went on Craigslist. I looked up translation jobs. I got a job immediately. Like it was just really when you're following those Seiko responses, just boom, 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 boom. And that was what ended up being my career, which then led me to my husband and like my whole life. So that was really like, I didn't understand what was happening at that moment, but that was the trajectory and that was where it began.
I love love. Interesting that you and Jasmine, your examples are like kind of like they're connected. What was good and what was bad. That's giving me some perspective. Ms. Brown, I came to you last. So you could maybe ride out a little bit of feeling around that. Some insight on some decisions you made in the past. You don't tend to let us know what decisions you felt were not so great. So I would really like to hear about that.
Not so great.
Some decisions you're like, fuck, wish I didn't do that.
Gosh.
You're the conscious three here, you know? So like, I'm curious what your perspective is there.
I've heard her say it about relationships.
Yeah. Ooh. Relationship wise. Yeah. But that's like a broken record at this point. But I'll say this. I don't think there's half of me that's like, I don't think I've made my best decision yet.
Ooh, AC.
I think it hasn't come. And there's a part of me that can pinpoint when I did make my best decision, but I feel like it hasn't come yet.
So which one is the one coming to mind?
Probably writing my book proposal.
Oh, recent decision.
Yeah.
Deciding I'm doing this. I'm going to write a proposal. I'm going to get an agent. I'm going to get myself out there.
No, it wasn't. I wouldn't even say it was that clear. It was just more of a feeling like, oh, I literally made a decision in 2021. Like, oh, yeah, it's time for me to write a book. I'm going to get a book deal.
AC, what is that? What is that like? You're emotional. What is the emotional experience of when you know I've either made the decision or I'm going to be making the decision? Like, what is that for you?
I would say for me, that's the invitation, because everything that has been super successful in my life, like unexpectedly, has come from I'm going to do this. It's a feeling. So like when I'll use my old company that I had, which was a candle and tea and tincture business. I literally was like, oh no, I'm going to do this because of this. And at the time, my ex was like, oh, another business. And I was just like, whatever.
You're 3-5. Right.
And then very quickly, I was in Red Book magazine. I was in InStyle magazine with the business. I was in...
Didn't Beyonce shout you out?
Yeah, I was in Beyonce's Blacklist. I was like, that happened very quickly. Yeah, so anything, it's like a feeling. So like when I made the decision, okay, I'm gonna... Well, it's funny. So I downloaded the concept for my book in 2020 in a Google Doc, and I just left it there. And then when I met with, finally in 2022, when I met with the person who helped me write, like coach me through writing my book proposal, she's like, so what are you going to write the book about? I was like, oh, you know, I want to write about this and blah, 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 that. And it was so funny because Spirit was like, show her the doc. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I want to write a book about something else. And I showed her the doc. She opened it. She was like, this is the book. And I was just like, fine. Okay.
I already did it.
And then I know I was upset about it.
You were upset?
And then, yeah, because I wanted to write. Why? I wanted to write something else.
What'd you want to write?
What did I want? I don't even remember now.
Okay.
I can't even tell you, to be honest with you. I was just like.
But you had wrote this in your notes like years
no,
before.
No, I channeled so it was this. Like, right. This was like it a 3-4 o'clock there. In the morning, like channel. It was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no, this is the book. I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. Once that feeling comes, like everything starts moving. Like everything moved very quickly. Like even when my agency owner, she was just like, you know, I've been in this industry for like 30 years and I've never seen things move this fast. She's like, you must be special. I was like, I guess I am.
Yes, I am.
AC, what do we call your design too? Like, you know, when you have the two lower awareness centers and the root, it's like this barrel or something. What do they call that? Is it the barrel?
I call it stability. So I don't lose my fucking
like
mind.
I feel like there's a nickname that somebody who has your design, like who has those bottom centers, all the very base of it. I feel like it just has a nickname.
I forgot what they call it. Some people call it something, but I forgot.
They'll let us know. The people always let us know. Well, I'm listening to you and I'm wondering, yeah, like how much, like the sense of timing with the emotional wave and the defined root. You know what I mean?
It's an interesting thing because I worry about time, but I don't because I always joke and I have friends who joke too with me. They're like, you are God's favorite because when things move, they move. Mm. And my book deal story is literally, it just doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't. So it's just like, okay, that's for me. So it's like one part of me is like, okay, if it's for you, it's for you. It's going to happen. But then there's this other part. It's like, God damn it.
There's some ease.
Why can't I have this thing that I want right now? Mm. Kind of thing. So I would say, yeah. So it's 50-50. My best decision hasn't come yet. And then that's one.
Okay, indirect eater, take us into the dark. What are some of the decisions, some of the choices you made? You're looking back, you're like, I don't know. I don't know about that one. And I know we don't regret decisions, right? Like, I get it. But with everything you know about your experiences now and who you are, when you look back, it's like, why the fuck did I do that?
That I regret. I don't know. If maybe it's the three. I can't say.
Yeah, Rachel said the same. She's like, regret. Well, I don't know.
One probably some that I'm like, I should have got out of there quicker.
Ooh, okay.
maybe that, like, I should, yeah. I should have got out of there quicker. Probably was a job. I was working at this company and it was supposedly this really amazing, like they had this great, you know, it's one of those, you should, now I know, like when someone says we have a great company culture and everyone's like, it was like just a really amazing, like everybody would like drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And they had this really innovative hiring process. And it was all of this. And they took trips to Disney World, all of this stuff, right?
Like red flag.
And red flag. The Disney World trip was great, though. The Disney trip was great. But the red flag, when I got there, was like, holy shit, they hire, like they, people moved up in management who had no leadership abilities, no skills, but because they were good workers, like, oh, she's a good worker and we like her, we're going to promote her. Like people used to get promoted who like drank the sauce 3 months, 6 months. And at the time I was in my early 30s, these are like 25-year-olds, like managing a team. And I'm just like, and then it was just a weird energy. And I was just like, I want to go to Disney World, but I know I need to look for a new job. But how I got fired from that job. So this particular job, you had to do like tasks and you had to do certain things within a certain time on the computer. And at the time, they wanted me to do some type of training, but I still had to do my task for the day and they wanted me to stay after to do it. And I was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And then I got written up because I didn't complete the training in a certain time. And then it was like, oh,
timing again. Funny.
Right. Like, oh, you're combative kind of thing. And it was a mess. It was a horrible place for a Black woman, period.
Ooh. So you think you overstayed, but I overstayed
my welcome, but I got a trip. Probably when I came back from Disney, I should have been like,
bye.
I need to find a new job ASAP. Like, it got so bad. I used to bring Palo Santo spray and crystals around my desk to like try and feel the energy. I wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to fight all of them, but I couldn't do that.
AC, your valleys with like taste sense in your environment. So you know you're in the right place when everything's really easy for you. Your exchanges are really easy. It's really effortless. If it's ever not, it's like, when I'm in an aligned space, my natural talents are going to come alive. They're going to spill out of me. Like exchanges over dinner might be really like where you make your most business deals, you know? So yeah, it's like a big sign for you of like the culture, like what a second tone, second color word, you know, the culture here. Blah, blah, blah. I don't like the seasoning on this, you know? Interesting.
That was probably, I overstayed my welcome, but I learned from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't have a really...
like when you think about a shitty decision, it's like, but man, I got this lesson from that, you know, like, so it can end up being like,
Well, is that a shitty...
You don't always get a lesson.
as I'm saying it, I'm like, I got a couple dingers.
Yeah.
Is that a shitty decision? No. Well, no, I will say another decision. I do have a regret.
AC Brown, I would love to fucking hear it. Let me tell you.
But this is also pre-human design. And when I was like,
Lay it 17, on. We're so 18, ready.
And I didn't realize what an invitation was. So from jump, I've always been very, very creative. And so I was always a studier. So if I wanted to learn about something, I studied it. I would go Barnes and Nobles, go buy books, go find courses, study it. So I took, because I've been sewing since I was probably like 5 or 6. I've known how to sew.
She golfs, she sews.
For a long time. And so I wanted to be in fashion. And so a fashion school, it was in my sewing class in high school. Fashion school came and like the lady was telling us about the careers, all that stuff. And I'm answering all the questions. I'm like, oh yeah, that's that. And she was like looking at me. Like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. And then she put me to the side before she left. She's like, you would be a really great fit here. You should come.
Invite.
And right. It was an invitation, but I wound up going to business school.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to go to LA to go to film school. But my parents were like, oh, you should just go to business school. So that would be my one regret.
Influenced where you went to school.
Because I wound up pursuing those things after college, not fashion, but film, TV, screenwriting.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a film background. Yeah,
I did that after like regular college.
You have all these little secrets in your hair, you know?
Yeah.
Just always little bits that you just shake out once in a while, get all excited about.
But I would have been a great fashion designer. I probably would have moved more into interiors because I like that better.
Yeah, that's fun. When it comes to shitty decisions or decisions I'm not very proud of, I don't really have any huge overarching things that come to mind, but I got a bunch of these little, like I lose my shit, you know, like I go out on a rage and I get violent or something. Like there's this one time, you guys, oh my God, I was 20 and I was writing all these exams and I was trying to get my insurance license and my mutual fund license. So it was like finance heavy. And I'm actually not a natural there. You know, like I can learn that and I have that there, but I was really adept in like writing, arts, design, you know what I mean? So I was going in this whole other fucking place and it was hard to learn and it was like challenging and clunky. Okay. So I'm in this like headspace and I live with my sister at this time. My sister had just bought a house and I'm like renting from her, you know, like renting a little room for my sister. And she's a pure generator, 6'2", going on her roof. She wants me to pull my weight more around the house. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Okay. Generator. And so I kind of am like, yeah, okay. And she's like, no, come do it now.
Uh oh.
I was like, I just walked away from her. Cause I'm like, I'm already on fumes and I don't want to like this, you know, and I'm walking away from her and she wants a challenge, right? She has a defined heart as well. And so she chases me up the stairs and I'm like I will get to it. I'm just going upstairs. I got to get away from you because I don't want to lose it. And she's coming at me. She's coming at me on the stairs, coming at me on the stairs. And I don't know. What happened? But I just saw red and I finally reached the top of the stairs and there was this big vase, like about this big. And I just got to the top of the stairs and just snapped, grabbed it. And this crazy moment, whipped it at her down the stairs. She ducks. It goes through the wall, makes a huge hole in the wall. She collapses. She's like, get out. Like, get out of my house. I really wish I wouldn't have done that because then my pride was involved, right? And I didn't have anywhere to go. I had my pack up my dog and her little kennel, and I just like went in my room shaking because I'm vibrating because I'm so angry. I'm just throwing stuff in a bag. Run past her. She's picking up these fucking pieces of vase. And I drive to my mom's. My mom's like, you can't fucking stay here with that dog. Get out of here. So I just drove to the country, slept in a field in my car for a couple days. There was a farmer coming knocking on the doors, like knocking. I'm so embarrassed. Like I'm like nowhere to go. And I'm sleeping in my fucking car. I had to wake up every couple hours to turn it on because it was getting so cold and my dog shaking. And I'm like, well, this isn't a good, I probably need to figure this out. Went and found another manifestor friend. And ultimately I ended up moving out with her. It's what I needed to do. But I really don't feel good about my violent episodes that I can get in as a young manifestor. I can get like snap and just, you know what? I got another one. Oh my God, this one's bad. I'm not proud. I may have said this on the show, but let this not be a full reflection of my character, just a partial reflection. I was postpartum and I had to go do a festival and I was doing crystal readings at that festival, which is like lithomancy divination reading for people. I was selling some products. Like at that time I sold crystals and herbs and shit like that. And I'm pretty stressed and I have a little toddler and I'm trying to build my setup and my, like for my presentation, you know, like my booth, if that makes sense. Cause you had to have like a cute little setup to lure the people in. And we were storing it at Derek's shop and he was just giving me attitude. Like he didn't want to help me. He didn't want to do it. And he's like pecking at me. And I'm like, oh God, like, you know, I'm doing the deep breathing. My kids there running around and I'm just like, And he just gives me attitude at the wrong time. And I'm already stressed. And I don't know why this happens. And I can't like my kids there. I have a 2-year-old there watching me. So that's why I'm really not proud of this. I just picked up some of the equipment in his, like with all his rigs and stuff around, like all his trucks, like his heavy equipment. And I grabbed a ladder and went, and just like whipped this massive ladder across the room. And Derek looked at me, picked up the kid, drove away, left me there. So ashamed.
That's like actually the best thing he could have done.
Oh, I'm obsessed with him. He handled it perfectly. Don't. And you know what? I've never been violent since that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm so ashamed and embarrassed that I did that in front of him, in front of my kid. Nobody was at risk of getting hurt or anything, but I lost my cool. And I've never lost my cool again after that. Like that was really like, I sat in the parking lot and had called some friends at the time and I was shaking again. I vibrate after I get mad. I'm like fully like sitting there like this. And sometimes I can get mad and have an outlet and I feel like, yes. And I knew it was like, I needed to just release that. But sometimes I would lose a hold of it. You know, it would get the best of me. My anger would get the best of me. And I hate that feeling. Cause I'm usually pretty in control, you know? So if I snap and I'm ashamed, it feels horrible, but you know what? I needed to have that breakdown at that point because it made me have to confront some things now that I'm a parent, you know, like I have to confront some of these things now. This is not okay. What would I do if he did that? If he all of a sudden whipped, that'd be a totally different situation. I'd made a big fucking deal about that, you know? So I changed. I had to change from there. So it led me to, it's interesting. Some of my worst decisions, get me into the best.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to do what you got to do now.
You got to have like a little rock bottom, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
you do.
To get, I have that though. I mean, I don't really do it anymore, but I used to have good, fair share of rage blackouts. Yeah. But you have to like, they don't just like come up. I mean, it's like literally like somebody's like,
they're poking you. They're pushing you in a corner, right? Saying,
please, I beg of thee, please stop. But there comes a point for me where I go, okay, I'm here for this. Let's fucking roll. And then,
yeah, but then when you get to that point, it's like, I'm going to destroy you.
Oh, it's murder. It's like the Kali Ma. Like, it's like, it's not good. You know, it's not good. My kids don't do it to me. They are like, I mean, I think probably because when they were young, I had to like figure out a way to not have those situations occur. So I would just say, hey, just so you know, I'm at like a 10.5 and like there's a neck vein. I have like a neck vein. Like,
yeah, the neck vein.
My girls know. They're like, I got Botox. And they're like, oh, we can't see your eye twitch anymore. Like,
oh,
because that's like my tell. Like, that's my tell. Like, I'll start to like, my eye will just start doing something and my neck just gets a huge like pulsing vein in it. And they're like, okay, time to like scale it back a little bit. Mommy's gonna flip her shit.
Mom's gonna lose her mind. Jasmine, let's segue for a brief moment. New decision. Got Botox.
Oh, yeah.
Are you loving it? Are you hating it? What are you feeling around it?
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
You it's look like sport. A fucking rock star.
Thank you. It's Dysport. I got it right here.
Okay.
And I got it right
on the middle of the forehead, on the side of the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm here for it.
I feel like I'm really complimenty toward you. And you have said things to me in the past. Like, I'm just thinking about where your Chiron placements are and how sometimes that's been like talked about, like your appearance. And so it had made me feel like maybe don't emphasize that so much all the time, but you guys,
I don't care.
Okay. Cause I think you're so fucking beautiful.
Thank you.
We were starting the show and AC and Rachel are talking about their books and shit. Me and Jasmine are sitting here. I'm just texting Jasmine. You look so beautiful today.
Thank you.
Quietly.
I'll take it. Cause now that I'm 47, I'm like, listen, load it up. Give me that.
I always think that every time I see you online, I'm like, she's so
pretty.
Thank you.
Really, I'll take it. It's weird, man. You get to be a certain age. And I know this is like a segue, but when you think about doing things to your face, and then that could be the worst thing you ever did. That could 100%. Be a bad
No, this is a great example. This is a great example.
Yeah. And I was like very nervous and very like, oh, well, but then I'm like, it's just fucking Botox. Like if I walk around like with a weird eyebrow first, it'll only be for a few months and then it will subside.
And you but roll
I'm
with
happy because I was trying to like frown and I can't. Oh, a little bit, tiny bit.
But you're saying this, you're teasing yourself. Like, it doesn't look like you can't move your face. Like, it's not. I would never know you had anything.
I didn't get any up here. I need to have expressive.
Hey, eyebrows. I got my tits done. It was one of the best things I did. One of my best decisions.
Your boobs?
Like I was a triple H and I went down to a double D and I got lipo.
Oh yeah, that was a good decision.
Good decision.
My breast reduction. Yeah,
you got a reduction too.
Yeah, I was a G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
G for gargantuan.
Big boobs.
I'm a full C, small D now.
I love a C cup. Cute. Love that. It's a perfect breast size.
My boobs still look good. Size. I got my breast reduction a long time ago.
Me too. Me too.
How old were you guys?
Great.
I was like 20.
I was young. I'll say that.
And they said to me, like, don't do this before you have kids. And I was like, I'm infertile. I can't have kids. So I did it. And then when I had my son, because my nipples were cut off because they cut off the nipple and reattach it because they're removing so much breast. I couldn't breastfeed. And I got my boobs still increased in size though. So it was,
oh God.
I went up to massive tits again. I was like, when am I supposed to do this? And so just within the last 3 years have my boobs gone back down. So like had an H cup, got them reduced to a double D. They climbed right back up to an H cup. Joke was on me. And then I lost weight and they just went right back down to their double D. And that's where they sit. That's where they stay. And I would do that. I still think about doing it again. Like I'm still
I wouldn't do it again. Mine looks still look
should
good.
I lift them now? Well, I've had that yo-yo of weight in my breast now, you know? So I'm like,
but even with my weight chain fluctuation, they still sit really, really great.
You haven't had a baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby yet.
Don't yet me. Not.
I thought you were going to have one. I didn't know.
No.
But if don't have a baby, that's not going to, it's pretty good. I mean, your body will just stay the same.
Yeah.
Babies do major.
I don't
to the bad.
Feel at this stage in the game that's a good decision for me to have a child.
Not a good decision. No. Yeah, do you want to be a parent though? I feel like I've heard you say you want to be a parent. Sorry, that's a pretty big question.
I'm gonna be an amazing bonus mom.
Oh, I love
that. I'm okay in that lane.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Actually, even adopting. If I were to adopt, it would literally have to be like the right situation, probably like a 13 to 15 year old.
Wow. I love everything happening there.
I would like to go on record as saying that is not a good age to be. Not for your first kid.
I could see why you would say that, but because
and I, if my children are listening, I have excellent children.
But if I ever adopt, I have the resources, so I know I could get the kid what they needed. So
yeah, well, that's so noble, so noble.
So that's why I say that age between that. Yeah, I would say like a like 12 and 15 if I ever did, because I know for sure that I could be the parent that I would have needed with all the resources that I have now. That kid would be sky's the limit.
And think of the need at that age, right? Because who's going adopting a kid that age? And yeah,
correct.
Yeah, that's real.
Like
we've talked about that too, like fostering that age group.
They would be set up, like really set up. They would be like good to go.
Yeah.
Jasmine's face.
They're just not good to go. I mean, you're literally the worst version of yourself between the ages of 12 and 15 years old.
Like, right. But I also know what that needs as someone who didn't have that when she needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
wait, time out. Let's go to Vessel of Love. Rachy, you've raised like a teenage boy.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's actually the age where I got my stepson. And yeah, I would say it is not an easy age. It was very difficult, but maybe because I didn't have him when he was like cute and little, I didn't really, that change into that different stage wasn't so abrupt because I just didn't have all those memories.
Right.
I think those memories serve a couple of things. They help you get through that stage. So I didn't have those to help me, you know, that you hold on to those, I think, like my husband and I talked about that. But yeah, I think at that age, they do need a lot, but at the same time, like you can leave them alone and go out for
a night. You're also bonding with a person at that point.
Well, totally.
I think that's, we're having two conversations.
No, I know what you're saying, that they don't want a bond and all of that. And that is okay.
Yeah, I am not.
Get away from me. But I'm not looking at it as, if I did do it, I'm not looking at it as this is going to be my best friend.
Right.
No.
They're going to hate you.
I'm looking at it as more of, I have the tools and resources
altruistically
to provide this individual who had a bad fucking start in life a better future. That's
also
how I'm looking at it.
If you adopted a kid, they would want to bond with you. It's
different because
they have to break away from you if they are your kid you've had for their whole life. So like my experience was actually they wanted to bond. So
I agree with Rachel too. They want to bond. They're like, oh snap, you're taking me. I'm also an older kid in foster care. Like the foster care system is horrible for older kids. They barely get adopted. They age out. Most of them are homeless. So that's why I said that age, because I know I'm like, oh, your life's going to be lit if you come over here. Like, we're going to make it happen. I'm going to get you all the tools, resources, emotionally, mentally, physically, all of that. And then you're going to be able to thrive.
And sometimes they'll still be mean to you. And
which is fine.
That's being a parent. Okay. Like the other day, the other day I told Alan, I was like, I came downstairs. I was like, oh, like Tyler had just been so mean to me that day. And just so, I think he just hadn't taken his ADHD medication, basically. Even though I kept saying, I don't think you took your medication. He's like, yeah, I did. No, the next day he called me while I was on a walk. He's like, I apologize. I didn't take my medicine. I was like, I know. Yeah. But I came downstairs and I was like, how come all I do is like defend him and do everything for him? And like whenever my parents say something, you know, I'm always like, no, like Tyler's like, and then he's just so mean to me now. And I was like, yep, that's being a parent.
That's what being a parent is. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, listen, that's also one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
Yeah.
My children enriching. They've enriched my life.
Aww.
I was going to say, from the manifestor perspective, I get a lot of questions about manifestor parents because it's like, it's not natural to be like in the response position. And when you have a child, especially when they're little, you're like on their beck and call, like you're constantly in that response. And honestly, when my kid was little, that's when I had nervous breakdown, you know, like heavy postpartum, can't handle this, really needed to like, that's when I had all that rage and throwing things around. I had to really kind of reset the lifestyle. And I think for me, because I wasn't supposed to get pregnant and we knew it was going to be hard on my form, like my body was going to have a hard time with that. I did have this moment of like, is this what I want to do? And Derek was so great because it was not a question to Derek. Like he was already in happy mode while I was still in the devastation of realizing, holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to become a parent. And now I'm telling me I have to. It was like a flip in worldview. And there was a moment where I had to make that decision of, do I want to proceed with this? And I knew that if I didn't, I was also losing Derek because he wouldn't have been able to get over that. And it was like hands down, you know, it's hard to say, like getting together with Derek is one of the best decisions I made in my life because the partner is really important. And through my ability to, through his love for me and showing me that I was lovable, did some deep healing for me. So I wouldn't have been able to go all the places that I've gone without his love there. Cause that was a key thing for me to know that I was lovable. Not that I like, we have to do that with someone else, but for me, it was very nourishing. And then that led to giving birth to Hoxley, which is honestly like, now that I know everything that I know, and we have this dangled in front of us, like, you could do it again. Would you not do it? I would do it every time, over and over again and again and again. I would have him and I would be a parent because there hasn't been something that has kept me accountable like that, that has made me want to be better than that. Not even the romantic partner. Like when I saw like my shitty behavior or my good behavior emerge in my kid's personality, it was like, holy shit, I got to really like,
yeah,
you know, like it made me take a whole new level of accountability that then permeated my whole life. And if I didn't have that, I don't know, would I be a shithead? Would I be, I don't know, you know, like, cause he became such a drive for me to be a better person and to like forgive myself and to, he's watching, you know? So best decision I made in my life was who I chose as my family.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 Studio production. Find us at SIX-TWO.studio for all your creative sound needs.